All right, everybody. This is Avery Adventures Podcast, and it is podcast number 37.
Yeah, me and Tanya had an argument whether it was 37 or 36.
And I was right, as usual.
Yeah, as usual. A couple of bookkeeping things that I wanted to go over real quick. Number one being, we do not have to have an intro. So quit emailing me that we should have an intro with music, because...
Unless you want us singing?
Yeah.
When you... Which don't want we just singing. Did. You missed that. You're welcome.
Yeah. Well, I don't... Tell me... Somebody could tell me why that we need a musical intro to make it a good podcast, because I'm a podcast junkie and there's a whole lot of shitty intros out there.
Yeah. And then you have to listen to the whole intro, which is a pain in the ass.
Absolutely. And I don't know why. And number two would be that we need to bring on certain guests. Well, I agree. We need to bring on guests, but I don't want to bring on what I consider retreads that are on 75 podcasts, and I'm not going to.
And we have guests lined out, which I think is important to mention, but it's really challenging sometimes to match up our schedules. So just because you haven't seen the podcast yet doesn't mean that it's not in the works or being planned.
Yeah, we have quite a few good podcasts coming up, so we hope you guys quit listening. If you like our podcast, please share our podcast on whatever platform you deem relevant.
Did you say quit listening? Keep listening.
If you like listening to our podcast, please share it. If you don't like... Oh, the other thing I was going to go over is people ask why we got to cuss so much. Yeah, well, if you don't like cussing, that's probably not the podcast for you. We don't cuss really that much, but sometimes we get on little tangents and Tanya's a foul mouth, so...
Sometimes things just need to be said, and this is our podcast, and this is who we are, so we could try to be somebody different, and then people would complain about that, because then they would feel like we were being censored, because they know us, and they know this is not how we sound, so...
Yep, we started to do good, honest reviews on gear, good, honest people on that know how to kill things, and that's what we're going to keep trying to do. So today's podcast, we'll quit blabbing, we're just going to go through the clothing that we used this year. And what worked, what didn't. We have a few new items that are coming out in 2018 from First Light and Sitka Gear that I tried out for the last 2 or 3 months. And I kind of want to go over that. And I definitely want to highlight a few of the things that didn't work for me.
So before we start this, we did a quick roundup on Rock Slide. The Rock staff and some of the mods pitched in on what they considered to be their top three. And if you put it in more than top three, but check that out, because that... is what they consider to be their top three pieces of gear that stood out to them in 2017. So that was that's a good read if you guys are curious.
Yep. Nothing on here that I'm going to put out that I've worn under 10 days, and most of it I've worn far more than 10 days of good field use. So it's not something I pulled out of the box and said, look at this. This stuff is amazing.
I think I'm right at about 10 days for my stuff, maybe a little shy of that.
I'm on the other end. I'm closer to 100 days in the field.
Actually, so. That's a lie. Some of it I've worn a couple seasons, but some of it...
Yeah, that's true. And there's some stuff you have that are really, really shine this year.
Yeah, so. For sure.
And if we'll get into it, I'll start with the First Light stuff that I wore. The one piece that First Light came out with that I didn't understand it when I was doing the podcast, and we were doing the podcast with Kenton and Ryan. They came out with the Sawtooth Hybrid jacket. It reminded me of the Cryptic Borealis, which I didn't really have a use for after using it for a while. The Cryptic Borealis was a little too puffy. It wasn't that warm for me, and it didn't really breathe. It's designed similar to the Hybrid, where it's designed for active use, as in hiking. It's not a jacket you're going to rip out when you're sitting down the glass. It's an active jacket, so hiking, you know, obviously the backpack on, but it's for being active, I guess, is the easiest way to use it. But I never took it off this year. I pretty much every photo you see of me killing something, or my kid or Tanya, I had that jacket on. I would say the biggest thing to it that I like is it's really not very bulky, and it's easy to layer over the top, and it is pretty warm for what it is as an outer layer in warmer weather. I would say the biggest thing why I like it over the Borealis from Cryptic is the hood. The hood fits absolutely perfect. There's nothing wrong. You can look side to side. I don't know. I just didn't think the piece would be that great, and I ended up using it for hundreds and hundreds of times, or hundreds of hundred times. I use it probably 50, 60 days this year, and I love it. It'll be a staple in my wardrobe for hunting from here on out. The one thing I'll say about it is you really got to watch out for mice. I left it on the ground and on one of my backpacking trips, and the mice tore the crap out of it. So look out for that. The other thing, and it's one thing that first I got knocked out with the Red Desert boxers, is their new Benmore arrow wool boxers. I have four pairs, and I pretty much have just gone to wear them every day. They're really, really tough. My legs are fat. They're rubbed together, and I got no holes, and they seem to breathe really well. They don't stink, and I was really surprised with that, too, because if you came from the Red Desert and you have any kind of girthy legs like myself, they are weak, some of those, on the straight merino, and there's holes all over my boxers. I did rip their storm tight pants all to hell. So I know they're coming out with the Seek pants this year with a full length zipper. So that'll be an improvement. I do have a problem ripping rain gear. You'll see with the Sitka rain gear. I also had a problem with them. First Light's also coming out with it's called the Chamberlain. It's a heavy down glassing, stagnant cold weather day, puffy. And I wore it probably 15, 16 days this year. It comes in at 28 and a half ounces. And, it's really warm. I was a little weary about how much wind would get through, you know, the down jacket. But the great thing about down is it's pretty windproof. The bad part about down is not really that breathable. So the Chamberlain is one to check out if you're cold-blooded like Tanya, or if you do a lot of sitting in below freezing weather in glass all day. The other jacket I ran with them is called the Catalyst. It's their new soft shell. It's a hooded soft shell. It does not have a wind layer in it, but it is extremely, extremely windproof for not having a wind layer in it. It's packable. It's warm. It has a really good warmth to weight ratio, and it was pretty, I would say, pretty waterproof in the test. You're gonna see. I did a review coming out on Rockslide. It has it's the Bora versus the Jetstream versus the Catalyst. And I would say the Catalyst did really well overall. It's pretty dang light. I think it was 18 and a half ounces, which is, you know, some the ounce counters will say that's heavy, but for a packable, pretty dang warm soft shell, it's worth its weight. And it's cheap. It's cheap. If you compare it to the Bora or the Jetstream, I want to say Kenton said it, he told me to tell prices, but it came in around $200-$250. And it's legit. The new arrow wool came out. I got it about, I think late October. I think I got it. And instead of having poly merino blend, it's a Kokona or 37.5 nylon wool merino blend, and it's more durable and it definitely dries faster. I can't really say that it's more durable than the poly, although nylon is inherently more durable than poly, but it definitely dries faster. And I was a little worried that it might get some stink. Nylon pants, the corrugate pants can get a little bit of stinky, but I didn't notice any stinkiness in, I think, 10, 11 days that I wore it. So I'm excited about that. I think arrow wool is probably the best thing over the last two or three years it's come out, especially in the base layer. Sitka Polygene does not work for me. It's just like wearing Under Armour. I stink the first day, and it just gets worse from there. Tanya, you have anything on the First Light stuff?
Oh, yeah. I definitely have stuff on the First Light. So I have been wearing the Ultras pants for girls for, I believe, three seasons, actually. I got the prototype, and I really like these because they're nice and roomy and they breathe, but they are pretty thick. I haven't torn them or anything, so it's pretty nice. And we go through some pretty gnarly stuff. I definitely say even down south where we've hunted before, where it looks open, there's still some pretty nasty barbed bushes and such that can tear through stuff pretty easy. So I have those that I've worn a couple seasons and continue to still like them after that point. And then I have for the base layers, they have the Lupine, which is the hooded. And, no, that's a lie. The Lupine is not the hooded. women's shirt, and then the Artemis hoodie that I like to wear together. But they're nice because they come in solids too, so they can be worn when you're not hunting. So that's what I have worn for the First Light gear, which is, we've talked about this in a podcast before. We have to use certain colored hangers. I usually use the white ones, and he usually uses like the dark green or blue, just because we have a lot of the same patterned camo clothing. So in order to, when we're packing quickly, to not accidentally grab the wrong stuff, we have that little system, and it works pretty good, I think. So that's what I have for First Light.
Well, that was quick.
Well, I mean,
that was all you had. That's
all. Oh, well, you know, that's a lie. I love their socks.
That's two lies in 2 minutes.
I know, right? The compression socks that they have. They're not specifically women's. They're actually guys, I think. Maybe unisex. I don't
unisex.
Know.
They have size small, medium, and they have size large. So
yeah. So I do like those. They actually compress really nicely.
To finish up on the First Light on my side, I did try, they're coming out with a brush face merino, and it's a heavyweight, it's like 350 weight merino, and has a brushed interface like marine, like fleece, and it's, I have not tried that over 10 days. I actually only took it in the field one day because I just barely got it, but it, I see a use for it. This is a Henley, I think the Henley, it's a button up. And it, you know, it's like a 3 button up from the top. So it's a pullover shirt. It's not a button up all the way. And I think they have that. And I think they have an actual brush face, just regular shirt coming out. I also wore the Corrugate guide pants. Like I said, they've been a super bulletproof pant for me. I know people say that they have a lot of problems with QC on the seams. I have never seen that from mine. And I've owned a crap load of First Light gear. So it may be out there, but I haven't personally seen it. And neither has Tanya that I know of. No. All right, let's move on to the Sitka gear that I use this year. I want to talk about the Sitka Flash. And the one thing I do, you know, owning Rockslide, we're testing gear, and we're testing a lot of gear. So I don't always use gear in the way, you know, I'm not nice to it, I guess. So I'm using it to try to make it fail, to see if it'll fail. And
it comes naturally to Ryan, actually. If something can be broke, he'll break it.
Yeah.
For sure.
You have a real problem with breaking scopes.
Pretty much everything.
Anyways, the Flash jacket, if you listen to our podcast we did with John Barklow, he talked about putting the wind layer as close to your, you know, close to your base layer as possible. So I did a few tests. I wore the Flash right over the top of my base layer, and it wasn't rain or anything, and I did not have a shell outside of that. But I noticed when I wore the First Light Catalyst, or the First Light Chamberlain, which is their new puffy, and I wore the Kafaru Lost Park parka, I tried it a couple days with that Flash on underneath, and a couple days on my hunts without it. It was about the same temperature. It was a lot of glassing, and I had noticed that John might know something about layering, because I was substantially warmer wearing that, you know, I think it's 8 ounces, 7.7 ounce Flash, than I was without it. So that windbreak, it definitely seems to retain more heat being, I had a First Light Aero wool on, then I had the Flash. And then some days when it was really cold, I would have another thicker layer like the Hallstatt, or I had on, I may have had on a soft shell, but I don't think so. I just think I had a Chama. I had a Chama over the Flash one day. And the other days I was just wearing that Chamberlain or the Lost Park Parker right over the top of it. And I'm talking about days in November, late October. You're getting down. Some of the days were in the 20s. You know, they're all pretty much below freezing for the morning sessions of glassing. And most part, they're all below freezing in the afternoon. So if you're a guy that sits a lot and you get cold, that little 7 ounce piece can definitely let you sit and glass a little longer. So something to think about. I also wore it as an outer layer, and it was out in the rain, and I never had it leak through. And one day I was in the rain, not a torrential downpour, but a pretty good drizzle in southern Idaho, and it never leaked through on me that I could tell. And I did take it through the brush in northern Idaho, and I was trying to rip it. And I'm not saying it's a garment that I would do that with, but the garment didn't rip in the 5 or 6 days that I was beating around a North Idaho brush. And it, and in North Idaho, it's also always damp. Even when it doesn't rain, it's just damp all the time. And it didn't leak. It's John will tell you it's water or rain resistant or water resistant. It's not waterproof, but it's taped. It's definitely has a shell feel, and it didn't bleed through on me. I don't know what point that is. I thought about jumping into the actual shower with it on and timing how long it takes to leak through, because for a little 7-ounce piece, it's a good insurance for obviously a flash rainstorm. Or so far, I would use it as my actual rain piece without any issues till I see it leaking on me. My go-to pants I love, especially after mid-October, is I love the Timberline pants. They have the waterproof butt. They have the waterproof knee, and they're a warm pant. And I love wearing those pants. I always have a Sitka Jetstream beanie on, even
pretty much every day. Because you're bald, so you get cold.
I have a bald head. I would go to Ivory's basketball game. Some of those gyms are cold. I guess I'm getting old and sensitive. I always have a Jetstream beanie on. I have one in black. I have one in
I think open sub-alpine.
Country, and I have one in subalpine. Yeah. And I love them. I wore them at the gym. I just love the Jetstream beanie. It fits my big fat bastard rat of a head, as Aaron would say. I just like that hat. Like I talked about, I tried to wear Poly Jean again this year. It's just doesn't work with my body chemistry. I stink to high hell after the first day. I did rip 2 pairs of Stormfront rain pants. North Idaho is a rain pants ripping shithole, and I did rip 2 of those. I did get another pair of rain pants that are coming out in the future that so far I've worn, I think, 6 days in the rain in the crappy weather, and tried to bust some brush with them. They have not ripped yet. I will update you guys later on when John gives me the go-ahead. How are your Sitka clothing, Tanya?
Well, like you, I have the Timberline pants that I liked. I forgot to mention this, but I have said this before. The Sitka is a little bit more slim fit as a whole, I think, than the First Light. So if you are the kind of person that likes a little bit roomier cut, you may steer towards the First Light. But the Sitka Timberline pants that Ryan talked about that I also have are super durable and warm. So I really liked those. I also have the Cloudburst set, the jacket and pants, and I always pack those because it always is raining in North Idaho. Even if the forecast says it's not going to rain, it's going to rain most likely. I also used their base layer pieces. They have the midweight and the heavyweight core. So I like to wear those together. And sometimes I'll, you know, I feel like those are really comparable to also the First Light ones. But what I really found that I liked with the Sitka line was that they had, with their hoodie, they had the little face mask built in to it. So that actually added a lot of warmth, but without the weight. So you didn't have to wear neck gaiter. You didn't have to add an extra neck gaiter if you didn't want to with that piece. So that was, and it felt a little bit heavier than the Artemis hoodie in First Light. So those were the clothing pieces that I was wearing in addition to, are you going to jump to Kafaru next? Cause that was the piece I was going to say. So go ahead and do that then. So that was what I was wearing from Sitka, and I was really liking. They actually sent a vest too that I really liked that had a lot of pockets and stuff. So
yeah,
I used that.
Yeah, she did.
I think that it was actually sent to Ryan, but I quickly stole it because.
Yeah. Another thing that I forgot about the Sitka lineup is their ascent pants. Their ascent pants are freaking amazing for a warm weather pant. I ran around in the summer putting up trail cameras, scouting, looking for deer and elk. I used it a whole lot when we were bear hunting in the end of May. I didn't rip any holes in them. Got a few snags, but I didn't rip any. Didn't rip them. Damn, they breathe really well. They fit really well. And I think it's a big improvement over the ascent pants from years gone by. The other thing I forgot to talk about, I saw Aaron rocking it today on Instagram, so I wanted to bring up the Sitka, what I call the Sitka sundress. I think Sitka's calling it the Kodiak. It's just a really long Gore-Tex jacket, and man, I have to say, it's a, when you look at it, you're thinking, what the hell am I going to do with this? But if you're in a really, really wet environment where you have rain all day and you're in brush, like in North Idaho or, you know, Southeast Alaska or someplace in British Columbia, the Sitka, the AKA Sitka sundress is really going to really help a lot of people stay dry, I think.
Yeah, yeah. It falls to a good length. I thought at first maybe it was a mistake that they sent it when you tried it on because it looked just so long, but seeing it on Aaron, it falls about mid thigh.
What are you saying? It's a little shorter.
Well,
than
you're a little bit shorter than Aaron is. Well, so
the good thing is I'm a little better shaped than Aaron is.
Right. I mean, we all have our trade offs. So, I thought you were going to say better looking.
Well, that's a fucking fact. I mean, that goes without saying. But no, that it's a, when you see it, you're like, huh? It's like a, I would say a 3/4 quarter, zip, because at the bottom it's not. You have to pull it over your head, but it zips down almost to your, well, almost to my knees. So it'd be like to Aaron's mid thigh, but it's got a lot of uses. If you're hunting in the brush, you're on horseback. There's lots of uses for it. I mean, I hadn't used it enough to say all the uses for it, but I did let Luke Johnson wear it, and he did look like a little heffalump.
That probably went to about his ankles.
It looked like a little Oompa Loompa. It was actually dragging on the ground.
You have to like pin it up for him.
Oh, that's it.
We love you, Luke.
Yeah, we do love you, Luke. The Sitka gear, you can't go wrong with Sitka gear. You can't go wrong with any gear we're really talking about. They do have little issues here and there. All of them do. But I do like the Sitka outerwear. The next thing I tried this year was the Cryptic, the Bora jacket, the Altitude line, and their Gar Puffy. The that review I'm talking about between the Jetstream, the Bora, and the Catalyst. The Bora, I don't know what they put on it. It's a soft shell, but the rain, the DWR they put on that, I don't know what it is, but I wish everybody would use it because it simply doesn't want to get wet. I wore it in the rain. It's not rain gear whatsoever, but I didn't get wet in it. It beat it up all day long. It's not a super warm jacket. It's pretty thin. It was the weakest in the wind barrier part, but it's super packable. And, it's also pretty noisy. So out of the three, I'll give you a little bit of a inside peek. For the price, I did expect more out of the Bora. But I'll change that up on the Gar. The Gar is amazing puffy. I wore the Gar probably the most out of all the puffies I wore this year. Again, it has a DWR on it, and it works really well. But it's really, really warm, and it's a $400 jacket, and I think it's worth every bit of that $400.
Yeah, you have gone on and on about that jacket.
Yeah, it's got a lot
every
of burn
time you
holes
put
in
it. On.
Yeah, it's like buttery smooth filling. It's and I'm really not into the feel of products, but it's just, man, it's like wearing the sun. It's just like a little heater. The only thing I wish that it had that the Gar doesn't have is a hood. I think almost all puffies are out of hood. I don't understand why they wouldn't, but the guys down at Cryptic are pretty smart, so they probably have a reason. But so as much as I'm not a big fan of that Bora, I do love the Altitude camo. I think it's the sickest camo on the planet. I got a gun dipped in it, and
it's pretty sweet looking.
Yeah, it is sweet looking. But as much as I don't like the Bora, the Gar makes up for it. So if you're looking for a puffy, if you don't like hoods, I don't think you'll find a better puffy than the Gar.
Well, and it's really nice looking. It's just a really nice looking jacket. Like, you wouldn't just have to wear it hunting. You could wear it, you know, on a night out or just like every day. And then you wouldn't have to justify the price tag because it's definitely a jacket that you could wear every day without looking like a weirdo in camo. You know, like some people give you the once over.
It's like grayish. I don't know what color gray you'd say that is, but
it's like a slate gray.
Yeah, it's just a heater. I couldn't get over how warm that jacket actually is. So anything else on your side for clothing? What about
non-hunting related brands, I guess you could say. The Mountain Hardwear jacket, I have talked about this a lot. I was amazed when we went on my mule deer hunt that this jacket actually kept me as warm as it did. It's the Mountain Hardwear Ghost Whisper. And Ryan, you bought me this for Christmas 2 years ago.
Yep.
And I really liked it because it was only 7 ounces, but it was super warm, so I could throw it on in the wintertime because I hate huge, bulky, you know, jackets. And I, you know, drive around town and not feel like I, you know, it just was really comfortable to wear and kept you warm without feeling like you were the Marshmallow Man. So I wore that on my mule deer hunt, and I believe I wore, so each day I would wear the base layer, both pieces of the base layer, depending on whether it was First Light or Sitka. I would wear the, you know, the base, the mid, and then the heavyweight, and then a puffy vest from REI, which was just okay. I mean, it wasn't anything special. And then I would wear this Ghost Whisper jacket over it. And that normally wouldn't, I mean, just those four pieces, if it was a normal jacket, wouldn't keep me warm. But, I was warm the entire time. We were sitting there glassing for hours, and you kept asking me if I was getting cold, because of course I had, other pieces in my pack to, I was planning on putting on if I needed to. I was expecting to have to put them on. And I didn't need to. I was really shocked.
Yeah, she had basically two layers on underneath that one.
Yeah.
And you had that jacket, the Ghost Whisper from Mountain Hardware. And
I had the REI.
REI vest puffy on.
But puffy vest.
It's really light too.
Yeah.
The thing is, it was about, with the wind chill, I would say it was around 10 degrees tops. And
I would say it felt like 5.
Well, the thing is Tanya, there's cold-blooded, and then there's Tanya. So I was amazed because Tanya had the Lost Park parka, and we had a Whoopi in her backpack. So we literally glassed, and the day she actually shot her deer, we had to sit on this deer for, I think, 2.5 hours. And I asked her, I mean, she got cold on the deer at the end because, hell, I was getting cold, and I really don't get cold very often. And I kept asking her, is that puffy keeping you warm? And she kept telling me, yeah. So I was kind of amazed that an 8-ounce jacket could be that warm. It's not hunting brand, but I've talked to a few of the hunting companies, and they have some clothing in the works that will make it a puffy like that in the hunting brand soon, I hope, because I was impressed.
Yeah, for sure. I'm actually going to order another one in orange or red, whatever color that they have that's closest, for just wearing hunting, because I don't want to trash the one that he bought me, because I like to wear it during the wintertime. So I figure this will be multi-purpose to be able to wear during rifle season if I can find something in orange.
Yeah, you got to be a little careful. I think it's only 10 weight down here.
I mean, it could tear pretty easily, I think, if you went through some of if I was going through the brush, like up here, wear a shell over it just to protect it. Probably.
Yeah, I would not wear it in the brush,
but it's
not very thick, but it's
so warm. I was shocked. I normally have to wear the Kafaru Lost Park parka that I have, pretty much anytime we're sitting over 20 minutes, 30 minutes glassing in this.
Yeah. She's cold even on 80 degree days.
Yeah. So. Well, close.
All right, let's talk about our boots. I wore the Crispy. I tried a few pair of boots this year. I wore the Crispy Nevada GTX. I started wearing them 2 years ago. I love those boots. I also tried a pair of Crispy Summits. They did not fit my feet. I tried 2 different sizes. So I am buying another pair of the Crispy Nevadas because they're a little heavy. They're insulated, but my feet are really, they don't care. I can wear them. They don't get too hot. They don't get too cold. I really don't get blisters very often, but I can't wear Lawas or Loas, however you want to say it. I've tried the Tibets. I've tried the Latrips and Suns. Lawas just don't fit my feet. I've tried a few other brands. Those Nevada GTXs are it, and that's what I'm going to stick with from here on out.
I also wore Crispies. Mine were not insulated, though.
Yours were the Women's Summits.
Yes, mine were. So I think that I will, in the future, look at an insulated pair of the Crispies, because I know that everyone says not to do this, and I agree with it, but I ordered mine a little late, so I didn't really have a choice to break mine in before we went on our hunt. So I did literally grab them out of the box and wear them on the hunt.
What exactly what we tell you not to do.
What exactly we tell you not to do. But we weren't going to be hiking a ton. So I was a little bit reassured by that fact. But I thought that they were really comfortable and actually kept my feet a lot warmer than I thought that they would have being uninsulated. And I have worn the Lauas before too. And I liked them.
You still have those.
Yeah. Yeah. I still have them and will wear them, for probably more, warmer hunts.
Yeah. They don't make those anymore. So it doesn't matter if we tell you or not.
Yeah. Sorry. So, but, I'm not a person that has tried out a lot of hiking boots. So I can't say, you know, these are better than this brand or this brand. So I can just tell you what I used this year that I liked. But I have worn other boots that I've hated. And so Ryan was about ready to choke me out. I think I wore the pair of Columbias I absolutely hated that I had. But it's such a matter of preference. It's surprising how people can vary so different with their shoes.
Yeah. And the last thing we'll go into, and this was just simply the stuff we were wearing, so we'll cover our backpacks real quick. I wore three backpacks this year, but basically two. I wore the Kafaru T3 and both with the tactical frame. They don't make the T3 anymore, but it's my favorite, you know, day or maybe two night, you know, backpacking backpack. It's small, it's simple, and can hold a lot of weight. If you have to grab it, you can bone out your meat, throw it inside, and put your camp in the grab it and roll out. I also wore the Fulcrum. I also used the Fulcrum. I actually shot two elk with the Fulcrum, packed them out. Well, I can't say I packed them out. One of them, the goats packed them out. But the Fulcrum might be a little bit too big for me. I'll probably not be using it next year, not because it didn't work or worked fine. It's just got too much room. I don't need that much room. Most of my gear is pretty small and compact, and I can get away with 3 or 4 days with a much smaller pack, something more like the Reckoning. I also tried out the Stone Glacier 5900 on one of my pack outs, and I've already put this out there many times. If you're looking for a minimal pack, lightest you can get, Stone Glacier is probably your bet. If you're looking for a pack that, to me, is the Cadillac of packs, rides the best, if I get heavy weight, if I get above 40 pounds, I want the Kafaru on my back. And I didn't think that for a few days. I talked about it on another podcast, but I somehow put the stays in backwards. And I was cussing Aaron to high hell because it was driving through my back on a couple backpacking trips. And Tanya finally said, I think your stays are on backwards, you dumbass.
And I didn't actually say dumbass.
They were.
But they were.
Once I got that figured out, it went back to being the Cadillac. It's just the belt fits me. The pack fits me. There's no movement. I don't need the lightest pack in the world. I understand what Kurt's going for, and I think they make a great product. But if I'm going backpacking until as of this point today, I'll have a Kafaru on my back.
I also have a Kafaru that I love. And right now, I'm totally blanking and can't remember.
Oh, Tanya does love her pack, but she's not a great name. It's a 22 mag.
Yes. So I just want to just say the 22 mag is what I have, but we started a diet today and I'm fading fast.
Yeah. Tanya says I'm a little too fat, so she's going on a diet with me, which I totally agree with. But the 22 mag, yeah. The cool thing about, and I don't want to be a Kafaru fan, but I've had all the packs on my back. That's what works for me. It might not work for you. You need to try that out yourself. Like we talked about in a previous podcast, you need to go to the Sheep Show or the Expo and you need to throw some weight on your back with those packs. They're all there. Kurt and all those guys at Stone Glacier there. Steve's there from Exo. Aaron definitely will be there. And they'll let you put some weight in those packs. And we've harped on this because I get this question all the time. Put some fucking weight in the pack. Put 70, 80 pounds, because at the end of the day, it's easy to walk around with your 20, 30, 40 pound packs that you're going to use when you go hiking in. It's not so easy once you kill an elk, you know, and a deer, but an elk more so, that you have that 80, 90, 100 pound loads. That's what makes a difference. And that's what separates the men from the boys. So
at least put 60 in.
Yeah. And all body types are different. So I say the Kefaru because it's what fits me and it fits Tanya, but it might not be for you. That's why you need to go check it out.
Yeah, I was pretty impressed. I liked mine. I like them because of the versatility that you know, we can switch out the pockets and we can, you know, just, you know, whatever, depending on what we've got going on, can just make them work for us at the time. And because we both have it, we, you know, can switch out the frames or do whatever.
Yeah. And we're lucky. We're lucky in the sense that me and Tanya, I'm not very tall. I'm only 5'8". I'm a little girthier than Tanya. Okay, I'm a lot more girthier than Tanya. But I can adjust her pack to fit me quickly. And you can, most of those packs you can adjust to fit each other, but the Kefaru easily fits Tanya, and then I can use it to pack out her bears.
And we've done this multiple times. You'd think that we'd be more prepared when we go on a hunt, but I think that we get so lazy when we think, oh, we're going to go out for the day, that we don't bring literally anything that we need. And so we're scrambling at the last minute, which we've done for the last two spring bear seasons. And we've actually had to make my pack fit him twice.
Yeah, that 22 mag is a very versatile pack too. I just saw Kefaru put it out in a newsletter today, and it is kind of a little utility pack, and it's kind of fits in there with my T3. If I didn't rock the T3 for that, I'd probably rock the 22 mag. They're very similar in size. They're very similar in form and function. They both have the side pockets you can put the spotter and tripod in. They both, the biggest difference between the T3 that I was using and Tanya's is Tanya's had, the longer straps that I get around to hold the bear.
Well, I like how the 22 mag zips all the way down. With the T3, it just has like the opening up at the top, which frustrated me because I, of course, would never pack anything in the order that I thought that I would need it. Or even when I did, something would end up at the bottom of the bag. So then I would just be digging through the whole bag. And it also has a spot you can put a pocket at the top where I can access if I could just reach behind me when we're hiking and unzip it and rummage around through it. And, you know, so I can.
22 mag's a panel loader is what they call it.
Yeah.
It zips around in the horseshoe. The T3 is just like all the other T series. It's a top loader.
So just think about the way that you are going to hunt and pick accordingly, because that to me made a world of difference when I switched, because I just was like so frustrated. I'm like, I can't find anything in this goddamn pack. And I was, you know, swearing up a storm, but I definitely like how it has the option to zip all the way down and access everything and without, you know, messing it up and then zip it back up. So
I think that's
See myself changing that pack anytime soon. And
no, it fits you perfect too.
No, yeah, it fits really good. I really like comfort. It.
She's had a little weight in it, and it fits her really well. Yeah. And the cool thing about Kefaru is you can get, you know, the extra large belt, they make a marge, a medium large belt, they make the medium, they make the small. And then if you're Kelly Broker, you can get the petite.
You can get the little child's version.
Kelly has like a 20... He's 65, you know, he's got that no ass syndrome, kind of like Aaron and Kelly have. And he can wear, I think his waist is like 26, 27 inches, and he wears the...
Or for you moms out there, like a 5T, like a 5 toddler.
Yeah, the petite belt, we call it.
Yeah.
Anyways, that's about it. Have you got anything else, Tanya?
I don't think so. I briefly mentioned the Kefaru Lost Park Parka.
I did want to cover the Lost Park Parka. Probably the best over the last 3 years since it's been out.
I was talking. It's okay.
Tanya, was it important? Go ahead.
This is my third, I believe it's been my third season owning a Lost Park Parka. And it's freaking amazing. I'd have to say overall, if I could only like keep one piece of clothing, it would be this one for sure. I wouldn't even have to think twice about it. Even the even over the Ghost Whisper jacket, it's just so much heavier and warmer that you could, you know, could double as a pillow, or you pretty much fit around you. It's a great jacket.
It's a Tanya staple.
It is.
And I don't care if it's a dead of summer.
No.
Or it's a dead of winter.
Well, actually, I wore it last year when we went on my mule deer hunt, and it was way warmer than it was this year, and I thought it was cold then.
Yeah. She uses it a lot, and I the cool thing about it is I like using the Lost Park Parka because I don't have to use a shell. It still hasn't wetted out on me, and I've had it in some doozies. I'm sure it can. It's not waterproof again, just like the Sitka Flash, but it has that Apex insulation in it. And it
which is like a Whoopi.
Yeah, it's super warm. It's like wearing a sleeping bag. And it's super waterproof, and it's I bet you I would say it's 100% windproof because it's just a little heater. Mm-hmm. It is a little weight penalty for, like, again, your weight penalty, guys. But when you need it, you need it.
Mm-hmm. And you're not going to care if it's a few ounces. At that point, you wouldn't care if you had to pack in, what, 5-10 more ounces, because it's going to keep you warm for sure.
Yeah, it's all about the needs, man. If it's if you're going to be doing a lot of glassing and it's going to be below freezing or even closer to that to zero, you're definitely going to have to bulk up.
Yeah, if you don't glass a lot and you're walking the whole time, you probably wouldn't need it. But
no, just put on the old wife beater and go.
Yeah, just get it. But where we're at and the type of hunting we do, it's definitely something I wouldn't give up anytime soon. Actually, we got another one because Lane was going to go hunting this year with you. And I didn't want him wearing mine because I thought he would totally trash it. But he didn't. I mean, they're tough. Yeah. They're really tough.
Yeah, he didn't try. And he wears it all the time also.
Yeah, he loves it because he's cold-blooded like me.
Well, he's a skinny little sucker.
Yeah.
He's like 6'1 and 130. Well, anyways, again, if you like what we're doing, please share it. If you don't like what we're doing, I guess you won't be listening much longer.
Yeah.
So we do appreciate all the feedback, and you can find me at ryan@averyadventures.com. You can find Tanya at averyadventures.com, and you can find all of our platforms on averyadventures.com. We appreciate it.
And we, when I have my act together, I put links for all the products that we talk about on our website. So you can click on those and it'll send you right to the product that we were talking about. Sometimes I don't do it as quickly as I need to, but yeah, so check it out there. If you don't want to go through the whole podcast and listen to it again, just jump onto our website and check it out.
It's a lot of links this time.
There's going to be a lot of links. Yeah, it's going to take me a while.
All right, we have some good guests coming up over the next 2 months, and we appreciate you guys listening. Thanks.
Thank you.